Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to Filmception.
It drops.
once our voices.
Once like, recording. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Filmception.
Hey guys, welcome to our fifth episode of Filmception. We just got out of the movie Captain Phillips, so we're going to be reviewing that movie as well as giving our top five hostage movies coming up later. But first, let's get into that review of Captain Phillips.
That works.
We have been boarded by armed pirates. If they find you, remember, you know the ship, they don't. Stick together. It will be all right.
One minute, I will kill all your friends.
You're gonna shoot somebody, shoot me!
Relax. Everything gonna be okay.
Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me.
Sure.
I'm the captain now.
Based off the 2009 incident where Somalian pirates hijack a cargo ship and its captain, Captain Phillips, played by Tom Hanks. Adrian, while standing in line for this film, you suggested that if we didn't get in, that we should go see Runner Runner.
You had to bring that up.
Even after having an infamous 8% on Rotten Tomatoes score right now. Well, you got to see Captain Phillips. We all did.
Yeah, we did.
So that being said, did you like the film or do you wish we saw Runner Runner instead?
No, I enjoyed watching Captain Phillips. I wouldn't say it was one of my most anticipated movies of the end of the year, but I'm glad I saw it.
Would you say it's one of your favorite movies of the year so far?
I would say it's probably in my top 10-ish, maybe.
Okay, that's not bad.
Top 10, top 15-ish.
What about you, Yvette? How did this movie stand with you?
This was actually one of my top 5 anticipated movies of the year, so I was really excited for it, and I was actually really satisfied and really impressed with it. It's definitely going to make my top 10. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I thought it was exciting. I thought it was captivating. I thought everything about it was just great. There was a couple things, I guess, that I could
All
point
right.
out.
We'll get into those. Okay, we'll get there.
Well, let's start with, because it's named Captain Phillips, let's start with Tom Hanks, who plays Captain Phillips. Kind of an unusual role for him. He doesn't usually do this often. Yeah. Agreed?
I mean, he had an accent.
Let's see. What is the last movie he did? I can't remember.
Would that be Cloud Atlas?
It would be.
Oh yeah, yes. Cloud Atlas.
Let me make sure.
He had an accent in that.
Talk amongst yourself.
He was in Cloud Atlas, and what did you think about his performance?
I actually really was not into Cloud Atlas at all. I was kind of excited.
I thought you were
going
to say you weren't into his performance in this.
Oh, okay. Well, compared to Cloud Atlas, this was like phenomenal. I mean, I don't think it was his fault in Cloud Atlas, but I don't know. I really, really, really was impressed with his performance, and I really liked it. He got me all teary-eyed at the end, and
me too.
It was great.
When the ship gets hijacked, I don't think that's any spoiler. The ship gets hijacked by Somalian pirates. But when that happens, I saw him giving some really realistic, like, facial expressions. I felt that was completely realistic, and it didn't seem like he was acting like, okay, I'm in an action movie. He was acting the situation and how normal people. So he plays an everyman type of guy.
I feel that that realism just made its way throughout the entire movie. When I was watching the freighters load up the ship, I was just like, that being in San Diego, we see that off our coast, and it seemed real to me the entire time.
And wearing the wireframe glasses and the polo shirt, it reminds me of like just a dad of every person I know, of everybody my age. So I really liked his performance, and you know, I know that there's Oscar talk for him in this movie, which I'm hoping he gets a lot of Oscar attention for this. But I'm thinking his chances for not winning would possibly go to the fact that they didn't give him a lot other than to be scared or to you know what I mean? I don't know if they gave him any.
I feel like he did. I feel like he had a really big responsibility, because not only did he have to like kind of show this like panic. And he know this like scared panic, but he also had to like take control of the situation. He also had to play a character that was in command, because he was the captain.
Right.
And I think he did really good at like, you know, having an even balance of, you know, showing that fear, but also showing that he's in command and that he's taking control of the situation.
Right.
Or trying to, at least.
I think that's, I mean, Captain Phillips, I can see why it's kind of called Captain Phillips. And being a captain is kind of an overall, like, mention in this movie. Also with the lead of the other Somalian crew, played by, I don't know his name, but...
I'll...
Get your iPhone out. But I thought he was actually really good too.
Yeah, me too. I was really impressed with everybody. I thought I wanted to know if the Somalian actors were from, you know, here or from actual. They were really
felt authentic.
Very authentic. I thought they were very.
I thought the lead, you know, he's kind of the captain of their crew. So they have a lot of scenes together where they kind of, I don't want to say bond, but they have a chemistry. To me, I felt like there was a real chemistry mm-hmm. between right. those two characters, especially.
Yeah, even though they're kind of like enemies.
They're kind of enemies, but they have the same responsibility yeah. for their own crew.
Yeah.
And those were the scenes that kind of stood out for me.
Me too.
Out of all of them, where it's they relate on that sort of responsibility level.
Exactly.
And it's those real moments where you're just like, what's going on? Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So. Tom Hanks is great, and I think most of the performances around, I would say, the Somalian actors, if they're Somalian, and Tom Hanks, were all really great.
Catherine Keener.
Makes was that her? Yeah, didn't show her face on purpose?
Well, no, you saw her face, but she was, you know, maybe 5 minutes in the beginning, and that was it.
Weird.
The wife. She plays the wife.
Well, I'm glad that, yeah, I don't want to talk about how it ends. the camera work in here... I mean, I know it's an action movie.
Yeah, it's an action movie, and I don't know if it was because we were sitting so close because we did this pre-screening thing, so we kind of got seats up in the front, but for a little bit, and, you know, it takes place out in sea, and for sometimes I was feeling like I was getting a little bit seasick because there was a lot of shaky camera, and it was just because I guess it's out in the sea, and it's moving, and I don't know, I was kind of feeling sick a little bit sometimes. I don't know if it's because we were sitting so close or not. I want to see it again from farther away.
Yeah. but again, that it was directed by Paul Greengrass, who is known for that.
He's got the Bourne, you know, trilogy, and that's all shaky camera mostly. Yeah. But I don't know why it's more suited there for me than it is.
Yeah, I think it totally went with the film, definitely.
This movie?
I think it went with this one because they're out at sea, so it's like...
No, I understand.
It like makes sense that they're kind of shaky, but it did get a little bit kind of like, oh, I feel like I'm dizzy.
I don't know.
I had to close my eyes a couple times just because it was a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, no, I can understand having it in certain sections, but I don't know. I don't think they needed to go so intense with it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think part of it also had to do with just the confined spaces in which they were shooting
claustrophobic
in.
Feel.
That and like, it's hard to get that sort of entire film equipment into that tiny little submarine lifeboat.
It's a lot of close-ups, though.
Really close-ups. So I don't know if it was because we were sitting so close that it felt kind of tiring after a while.
There's also a flaw in this movie, and probably because I didn't know how the real-life situation played out, that I didn't know that this much time was going to be spent on this section. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I thought most of it was going to take place on the large cargo ship that they hijack. And... I don't know. The movie does feel a little like, to me, it's in spots. It's like, oh, that was really cool in this spot. In this section, I kind of zoned out a little bit. And then in this spot, oh, it was great again. It got exciting.
Yeah, I think there was like one spot where I was kind of like zoning out a little bit. I don't know if it was because I was feeling dizzy or claustrophobic. They did a really good job at that, though, making you feel like, I'm so thirsty.
You're in there.
I'm claustrophobic. I need air.
That's true.
I remember following it in 2009 on the news, but I always felt that it was longer. I think it was just the media coverage from it, but it took a span of maybe about four days total, I believe.
Oh, okay. And in the movie, it was just like, what, a day?
No, it was like three, four days, yeah. It was pretty true to life, yeah.
Well, one of my favorite sections as far as the hostage situation goes was that part when they're on the big cargo ship. Mm-hmm. I loved that whole section. To me, that was one of the most entertaining for me. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? You can pretty much separate this in two movies.
Yeah, you
movie
can.
Movie on big boat and movie on small boat.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite or did the movie flow for you?
I think it flowed for me. Like, I didn't really see it that way. And I guess because I wasn't expecting, really, I didn't really know too much. I didn't do as much research probably as you did. So for me, it flowed fine. And it felt like it all just kind of told the story
I felt like the entire movie just increased in tension.
It was a build for you.
Yeah. And right to that ending, it was pretty powerful.
Yeah, he does have a scene in there that's pretty powerful. And to be honest, I don't know if the rest of the audience was as taken as I was. I don't know, but I really liked him in that movie. And I thought the scene was honest.
Yeah.
We know one person that wasn't taken from it.
Person, one person walked out at the very end of this film by yelling boring and just left before anybody, before the credits even rolled.
Yeah.
I felt that that was maybe the only...
One of the only people, I think.
People,
most,
yeah, everyone was pretty... Like had on pretty board. Possible, yeah. Positive.
I was definitely on board the whole time.
This actually, I don't know if you guys saw Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, yes.
But this movie reminds me of kind of the last half an hour in Zero Dark Thirty, mostly, which I consider a compliment.
Refresh my memory.
The actual operation.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and which is good. It's exciting.
I guess the command sort of aspect of it, I see that the actor who played the Navy SEAL commander was pretty awesome.
Cool.
Even though it was a little small part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job with that too. Just you know, making you feel that like tension, that like excitement, that like, you know, you're like, it's like nail biting, like waiting mm-hmm. to see what's gonna happen. I like I said, I didn't do research, so I didn't know what was gonna happen. So I was really like stressed out in that theater.
Well, similarly to Zero Dark Thirty, it tells a tale of something that really happened, a real life incident,
right?
Mm-hmm. And an operation, more mm-hmm. or less. And I think there's some to dig into Zero Dark Thirty. I think there's things that their movies are trying to say. Is there things that this movie is trying to say?
You know, there was a part that, something that I really liked that I thought was kind of really tender and really sweet, and I thought it was kind of deep. It was the relationship that Captain Phillips had with the younger boy, the younger Somalian mm-hmm. boy. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that was so, like, kind of touching. It felt very, like, heartfelt to me, just because I felt like he really cared for him, like, towards the end yes. of it, and I think he was really, really genuinely worried for him.
Me too.
And so, I don't know, that just really got to me.
I think it played a lot to the character where he's a captain for work, but he's a father at home.
Yes, yeah. And that
that's what brought it through.
That's a really nice way to say.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's one of the most like impressing things about Tom Hanks's performance, is that he was able to show through all these different like
layers.
Yeah,
exactly.
Layers of his character that came through. It was really, really, it was impressive.
I'm glad you guys said that. That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that I think there is some things to be said, and I think it has to do with mostly how Tom Hanks performed
yeah.
that
yeah.
and how you can see it on his face.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
That he has a mixed emotions about the mm-hmm. the situation. All right, well, that was a good movie, yeah?
Yeah.
I would say
I enjoyed it.
I would say you got to go see it.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if it's for everybody. I can't tell, but I think it's I think it's great. I really do. Really exciting. And
for me, I would probably recommend this more towards the Oscar season. So as these mm-hmm. nominations for awards come out, if it's on the list, go check it out. Yeah,
I'm hoping Tom Hanks pulls a nomination.
Me too. Yeah. I'm rooting for him.
All right. Well, that was our review of Captain Phillips. Coming up next, because of Captain Phillips and being a hostage situation, we're going to be giving our top five hostage films. You ready, Adrian?
Attica. That gives you a little hint right there.
Oh, my God, you asshole. That was going to be mine.
Let's see what happens
now. See if they know what that means. Coming up right after this. Hey guys, welcome back to Filmception. On last week's episode, we asked a trivia question to possibly win tickets to About Time, and now we're going to be answering our question. We already picked a winner because there was only one entry. So,
congratulations.
Yvette, read that question.
The question was, in the film Gravity, the Looney Tunes character Marvin the Martian makes an appearance by floating off into space. In what other film about survival did a huge inflatable Scooby-Doo make an appearance? And the answer is...
Well, first off, I want to apologize for making the question really hard.
I didn't even know.
Extremely hard.
Yeah. No,
sorry about that. It was not Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, unfortunately. It was 127 hours, which was a personal favorite of mine. Next week or whenever we do this next, I'll make sure to come up with a question that's a lot easier.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Coming up next, we're going to be giving our top five hostage films.
Yeah.
Coming up right now.
Yay, hostages.
We'll be right back.
guys. Welcome back. So we're going to be starting our top five hostage movies. Adrian and Ryan have worked on a list of movies that they can relate to. I mean, related to Captain Phillips, I guess. And it's your guys' favorites, right?
Yeah.
Is it your favorites or just...
Favorite hostage movies?
Favorite hostage movies. I wouldn't say they're my favorite movies of all time, but this is what I'd rank if we're going... Just hostages only.
With the amount of couple minutes I put into this list, I think it's the best list I can come up with.
Me too, yeah.
So, shall we start from the bottom?
Yeah.
All right, number five. Who wants to go first?
I'll start with Adrian.
Okay.
I'll start with Adrian.
Well played. So number five, Air Force One.
Oh.
Yeah. Man. Is that Harrison Ford's best movie?
No.
Okay. In my book, it ranks pretty highly up there. But I mean, that interaction, that sort of chemistry that he and Gary Oldman had—that's that's what makes that movie great.
Yeah, I can compare that to one of my picks later on as well.
But right now, I
gave her a fun fact actually the other day that Harrison Ford, I read, insisted on taking an actual punch to the face in that film because he's that badass. Which is
that's the best thing ever.
Exactly. My number five, I went with Collateral, with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, mostly because of performances and the chemistry between the two of them together.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing Tom Cruise like that, you know, acting with gray hair and doing something a little bit out of his comfort zone.
Were you a fan of that sort of Steadicam?
I think I was.
Digital look.
I was.
Okay.
I know. I think he's stuck with the same camera with all of his other films too.
Yeah.
And I like it. Okay. I don't mind it at all.
Cool.
It's different. You know, I like different. Yeah.
Number four, Adrian.
Number four, I have Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
I think like all of my hostage movies have like a catchphrase to it. So the first one you have, get off my plane. This one you have, it puts lotion on the skin.
Yeah.
I mean, that entire story and how they go about trying to save this hostage crisis, essentially, from Buffalo Bill. So
it's an eerie hostage situation.
It is.
It gets under your skin. Buffalo Bob is probably the terrifying...
Bill?
I'm sorry. Buffalo. I'm thinking of Joe Dirt, I think.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bill is the...
Heard Buffalo Bob said to flare up the bunghole.
Exactly.
What? Where'd you hear that from?
But more than even Anthony Hopkins, I think that's the most terrifying person in that film.
Yeah. Well written, well performed.
Yeah.
Your number four?
My number four, I might get crap for. I picked Phone Booth
with
Colin Farrell. I think it was made in 2.5 weeks and takes
Seems
place
like it.
All in one.
I can tell.
If a movie is going to take place all in one place and it's going to be a movie by Joel Schumacher, I want it to only be 85 minutes or so. And it goes by like that. And I think Colin Farrell is actually pretty good in it, I think.
I like Kiefer Sutherland in that
You do?
Part, yeah.
Me too.
It was cool.
It kept me involved. I mean, I think if it was 20 minutes longer, maybe I wouldn't like it, but it was just the right pace. And
yeah.
I liked it. It was good for me.
And when your category is hostage movies.
Yeah, it's completely...
There's not much to choose from.
Yeah. I realized.
Number three?
Four. Oh, yeah, three.
Okay. Number three. One job. Taken, Liam Neeson. He's not necessarily the hostage in this case, but he is saving the hostage, just like with the last one in Silence of the Lambs, and it's just the ultimate Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah, I mean, I remember everybody loving that movie, and I wasn't in love with it like everybody else was, but the thing I understood was the fact that Liam Neeson, who I never saw prior to that as an action star or getting away with that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, dude, you're way too old. But no, he was completely intimidating. Mm-hmm. And that speech is still pretty infamous, I think.
Isn't there like a part 2 and 3 now or something?
Yeah, don't talk about it.
There is a part 2. I think they're working on a part 3. Part 2 wasn't as good. I mean, it was the same sort of concept, but a little different. Mm-hmm. But the first one remains my favorite.
Cool. Look how unprofessional you are. Eating rice. Cool. Go.
You're
two.
Always eating in these things.
I was hungry. I lost track of where we're at.
It's Ryan's number three. Ryan's number
just
three.
Just go silly. My number three, I went with Panic Room. I think that can be considered a hostage movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
They're being stuck in a room. Jodie Foster, that's one of my favorite Jodie Foster performances. And what can I say? It's exciting. And the visual style of David Fincher definitely helps in that. A lot of great camera work too in that movie, and Forrest Whitaker gives good performances, well rounded, and it's also I love movies that remain kind of simple,
yeah.
And it's really easy to follow, and
I hate that as a criticism. Mine, like, I love it. It's easy to follow.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I really.
My brain understands it.
It's a simple hostage movie that completely works. So yeah. What else can you say about it?
Would you say that Kristen Stewart's performance is the best of her career in that movie?
It's not terrible. Should I have a problem with it?
I don't know. I'm just saying from her full body of work.
Yeah, she's like a Lindsay Lohan type character. Her Lindsay Lohan's best performance was Parent Trap.
That's true.
And
yeah.
Her best performance is probably Panic Room.
Yeah.
Oh well.
They peaked too soon.
Yeah. They did.
The only comparison we can make to Orson Welles. Number two. Okay. Number two, I picked Dog Day Afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah, so it didn't take my top spot, which kind of surprises, I guess, the two of you.
Now I'm surprised what your number one spot is.
We'll get there. But I mean, it is the ultimate hostage movie, mm-hmm. I think. It's the classic. I don't know if anyone can really top that cinematically, but mm-hmm. it's not my favorite just because of the pacing of it. But overall, I think it's one of the best that have been made ever.
Right.
In history, what about your number two?
My number two, I picked Die Hard.
Yeah.
Which is a quintessential. When you think of hostage movies, that's the first thing that comes to your brain. Mm-hmm. And when you think of an action movie that should follow a template, like, oh, we got to make an action movie. Where should we go? Let's try Die Hard. Let's try that template of a movie. And like Air Force One, you said the chemistry between Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford, there's definitely a chemistry between, you know, Bruce Willis and Hans
Gruber.
Yeah, Hans Gruber. Alan Rickman. And, one of the most crazy, awesome villains ever. And
that is true.
I heard, actually, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, they both turned this down before Bruce Willis was like, I'll do it. And it made Bruce Willis a huge star. Mm-hmm.
Here's a fun fact that you'll probably cut out of this podcast. I used to watch that with my dad, like, growing up. So I've seen it, like, 17 million times.
That's a fun fact.
We'll keep it in there.
Watch it, like, in Spanish. It'll be, like, translated in Spanish with, like, bad overdub.
Muere duro.
That was a fun fact of the day.
Anyways.
That actually made my number seven.
Cool. Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, I have a process to these ranking lists.
Okay.
So I just throw out as many movies as I can. That came in number seven for me.
Man, you're number one. I can't even think of it.
All right, well, let's find out. What's Adrian's number one?
For me, it was Argo.
Oh, that is hostage,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, fairly recent movie. And I kind of kept back from putting regularly mm-hmm. recent movies. But I don't think I've ever felt that way in a movie theater before. Mm-hmm. Just on the edge of my seat and watching that and just keeping that entire time. It was a good movie.
Yeah, it didn't really come to my mind for some reason when I thought of hostage movies. I think I usually, you know,
it's a Ben Affleck
think of
movie,
a gun
fine.
Being held to someone mm-hmm. as a hostage.
You think, like, immediate, like, danger. Right. They were in danger, but, like, you think, like Panic Room, for example.
But they were in a house hidden or whatever, you know, they weren't under captive,
and
but
I guess
still
because
hostage.
Maybe it takes place over such a, like, a long, like, the whole movie.
Right.
It just, I don't know, maybe that's why, but yeah, definitely.
Already in Hostage Crisis.
That was good. That was good. My number one, I went with Dog Day Afternoon, you son of a bitch. I mean, I think what I like about this is out of all the other hostage movies, when you get the hostage situation, it's usually very dark. But I love that this movie starts right off the bat with a bank robbery. And then something unusual happens in this movie where the hostages starts liking the captive.
The Stockholm syndrome.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're friends of his, and the crowd outside starts to build, and he starts to become a hero in his own way, you know? And the line of Attica when he's screaming at the top of lungs, and that's the quintessential hostage movie to me.
Come on. You're a city cop, right? Robbing a bank's a federal offense. They got me on kidnapping, armed robbery. They're going to bury me, man. I don't want to talk to somebody who's trying to calm me. Get somebody in charge here.
I am in charge.
I don't want to talk to some flunky pig trying to calm me.
You don't have to be calling.
What's he doing?
What do you get back over there?
What are you in there for?
What do you get the fuck back there? Get back there.
What's he doing? Look at him.
Get over there.
Go back there, man. Get over there. What are you? He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
I got always going to kill
him. Attica! Attica! Attica!
Any honorable mentions, Adrian? I don't really have any except two.
Cadillac Man?
I never saw it. Was that Kevin
Robin
Klein?
Williams and Ted Robin or Tim Robbins?
Oh, Tim Robbins. Okay.
Yeah. That was my number 10. Misery.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I think Cape Fear is also worth mentioning.
Okay. I put Speed as an honorable mention.
Yeah, of course.
And I put The Inside Man was another honorable mention I was considering. And I just thought of it just now. Oh, Screwed. Norm MacDonald, and Dave Chappelle. I used to love that movie when I was like 12.
I haven't seen it recently, so I don't know if it holds up.
That's the reason why I couldn't find my
list. Let's keep it in our memory and enjoy it as we remember it.
Possibly. Yeah. Enjoy it down the road. All right. Well, that was our top five hostage movies. We hope you enjoyed the show.
And we hope you go out and see Captain Phillips because it's amazing.
It is. It's good. Amazing. Go it see really Captain is. Phillips. And coming up next week, we're going to be reviewing the comic book movie Thor, the sequel to Thor.
Thor the Dark World.
So if you have anything you want to add, go ahead and email us at filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com and subscribe to us on iTunes. Thanks, guys, so much for listening.
Bye.